A Pentecost Sunday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on May 19, 1991, entitled Catching God's Breath. The scripture readings are Genesis 1, verses 1 through 2 and 4 through 7, and John 3, verses 1 through 8. The text for the sermon is John 3, verse 8. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
The day of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is that festival in the church when we celebrate the gift of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, or the wind of God, or the breath of God, for in the original language, the word for wind and for spirit and for breath is all the same, the very same word. And when you stop to think about it, one can understand that when one breathes, a wind is formed, and when one breathes in, one inspires, there is spirit. And so this morning on the day of Pentecost, as we celebrate the gift of God's Spirit to the church, let us think of God's Spirit as God breathing, as the breath of God. For in so understanding God's Spirit as God's breath, we'll understand that the Spirit is not a person other than God. Our terminology, the person of the Holy Spirit, really conveys a wrong impression, as though there is God and then there is another person, the Spirit of God, and it is not so. The Spirit of God is God breathing. God's breath is God's Spirit. And God breathing is God turning toward our world, turning toward the church, turning toward us. God breathes, and God's Spirit affects, enlivens, energizes, empowers. On Pentecost, we speak of the birthday of the Christian church. But that too conveys the impression that the church then began, and that's really not so. For on Pentecost, the Spirit was no newcomer to the world, as though now for the first time the world was regnant with the Spirit or the breath of God. Not so. For we read in the first chapter of Genesis that the Word of God was spoken and all that is came to be. God called forth creation. And the wind, the writer says, swept over the deep, or the Spirit hovered over the abyss. God breathing on that which God brought forth. And the story goes on to tell how the chaos was transformed into the cosmos. God breathing. Nothing is alive except through the breath of God. God is the source of life and the giver of life. And God calling forth the world, scooped a handful of earth and breathed into it. And the human person became a reality. And every person lives only by being inspired, breathed into by God, who is alone the source and the giver of life. In the church, I think we have made God too small. We have tended to think about God in terms of things religious or spiritual. We have thought of God in terms of the salvation of our souls, and even that's a bad phrase. We have limited God to the kinds of things that happen in a place like this and failed to see the grandeur of creation which is alive with God. There is a distinction we ought never to make. That is the distinction between nature and supernature. For that conveys the idea that nature is somehow or other a realm there that can exist by itself, self-contained, and that a supernatural being must come into nature. Not so. Nature is permeated with the life that is the consequence of the breath of God. And so, the Spirit of God is no intruder from some alien world on the day of Pentecost, but rather God breathing brought forth all that is and enlivens all that is and is our life as well. So, in a starry heaven in the evening, or a sunset, or a meadow sprinkled with flowers, or a tree in bloom, or all of the wonders of the created order that cause us to catch our breath, to feel a lump in the throat, to be moved. All of that is because God is breathing. And it is not something separate from and isolated from that which we are doing right now. Although now we are sharply focused in worship, yet all of reality should draw forth from us the praise and adoration that would well up from our depths as we realize that the wonder of the world is because God breathes. Oh, to be sure, there is that more personal, experiential sense of God when somehow or other mysteriously we see with eyes that we never before possessed, and we hear with ears in a way that we never heard, when we feel, when we are moved, when suddenly we know ourselves claimed and graced by God. Once again, in the church, I think we have tried to make that such a clear, logical pattern of how God works in our lives. We have not rested easily with mystery. And so we have spoken about regeneration and conversion and repentance. But as a matter of fact, all of it is being born from above, being touched and moved by the breathing God, who now and again, here and there, with this one or that one, suddenly gives eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to beat and pulsate with passionate love never before felt. Jesus said to Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel, "Are you a teacher in Israel and don't know these things?" Well, Nicodemus could have given him the whole plan of salvation, I suppose. But Jesus said, "No, Nicodemus. As mysterious as the wind, whence it comes, whither it goes, who knows? Such is the mystery of being born from above, because God breathes and not only enlivens us, but gives us that sense of being claimed and graced by God, so that all of life in all of the world is alive with God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer of all. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and pointed to this God who breathes. This God who had been breathing throughout Israel's history and breathed through Jesus, the Word become flesh, who was breathing now on them and sending them forth to tell the good news. Peter said, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God raised up." And Peter was pointing to that marvelous reality that the God who breathes not only in nature, which is not nature apart from God, but nature enlivened by God. This God who breathes not only in the church, but in all of the spiritual experience of the person, but this God who breathes in all that happens in history. Paul said, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him. A statement sometimes seeming so hard to understand, and yet a statement that is simply pointing to the fact that God is breathing in it all. We are never orphans, never isolated from all that happens to us. God is breathing in and through it. Ah, you say, some ironclad plan that God has set out beforehand, grinding on its way like a machine. No. I heard recently of one who went to a marketplace in the Middle East, and there was an artist working on a Persian rug, and the rug was hanging. And the artist was on one side where the pattern was developing, and on the other side there were some young men who were pushing the threads through from the other side. And every once in a while, as the artist was working the pattern, a thread would come through in the wrong place. Or the wrong thread would come through in the right place. And then, of course, the artist would go around the rug and beat the boys, right? No. The artist then would look at the wrong thread in the right place, or the right thread in the wrong place, and would adjust the design so as to include the wrong thread in the right place and the right thread in the wrong place into a new configuration. You see, that's artistry. Any fool can paint by number, even I. But to be able to take the mistakes that are thrown at one, the dark shadows, to take the tragedies, all of those things that seem always so wrong and so meaningless, and to be able then to weave them into something that's beautiful, that takes the artistry of God. Something bad happens and you say, God has a purpose for it. No, He does not. But He'll make a purpose of it. You say, there's meaning in that suffering. No, there is not. But out of that suffering, the divine artist will turn tragedy into triumph and darkness into light. And that which would appear to be chaos left alone into a new design, now set here or there. Because God will not let us go. God will continue to breathe. He will breathe in our world, sustaining it in being. He will breathe in us, giving us life. God will open our eyes as He breathes through our minds and hearts and breathes in all of history. So there is no sacred and secular or nature and supernature, just one totality of reality in which we are embraced by a gracious God who will never let us go as long as God keeps breathing, making of our lives something beautiful, because God is God. God breathes. So hoist your sails, the sails of your soul, and catch the billows of the breathing God who will move you to places you've never yet dreamed of. Thanks be to God.